Okay, so I'll read Jeremiah 21 and 22, and then we'll pray. It says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, saying, "Inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful deeds, and will make Nebuchadnezzar withdraw from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands and with which you are fighting against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the walls. And I will bring them together into the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and strong arm, in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Afterwards, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people in this city who survived the pestilence, sword, and famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hands of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them, or spare them, or have compassion. And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and surrenders to the Chaldeans, who are besieging you, shall live, and shall have his life as a prize of war. For I have set my face against the city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And to the house of the king of Judah say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord. Execute justice in the morning and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of your evil deeds. Behold, I'm against you, O inhabitants of the valley, O rock of the plain, declares the Lord. You who say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter our habitations? I will punish you according to the fruit of your deeds, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in her forest, and it shall devour all that is round her. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this word, then there shall enter the gates of this house kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servants and their people. But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord concerning the house of the king of Judah, you are like Gilead to me, like the summit of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make you a desert, an uninhabited city. I will prepare destroyers against you, each with his weapons, and they shall cut down your choicest cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations will pass by this city, and every man will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord dealt thus with this great city? And they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. Weep not for him who is dead, nor grieve for him, but weep bitterly for him who goes away, for he shall return no more to see his native land. For thus says the Lord concerning Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah his father, and who went away from this place. he shall return here no more. But in their place where they have carried him captive, there shall he die, and he shall never see this land again. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbour serve him for nothing, and does not give him wages. Who says, I will build myself a great house with spacious upper rooms, who cuts out windows for it, panelling it with cedar, and painting it with vermilion. Do you think you are a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, declares the Lord. But you have eyes and heart only for your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood and for practicing oppression and violence. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his majesty. With the burial of a donkey he shall be buried, dragged and dumped beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry out, and lift up your voice in Bashan. Cry out from Abarim, for all your lovers are destroyed. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your way from your youth. You have not obeyed my voice. The wind shall shepherd all your shepherds, and your lovers shall go into captivity. Then you will be ashamed and confounded because of all your evil. O inhabitants of Lebanon, nested among the cedars, how you will be pitied when pangs come upon you, pain as of a woman in labour. As I live, declares the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet ring of my right hand, yet I would tear you off and give you into the hand of those who seek your life, into the hand of those whom you are afraid, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. I will hurl you and the mother who bore you into another country, where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land which they will long to return, there they shall not return. Is this man Coniah a despised broken pot, a vessel no one cares for? Why are he and his children hurled and cast into a land that they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah. Okay, well now, before our sermon, we're going to have our main Bible reading, or the rest of it at least. We're going to read from 23 to 25, and it's beginning on page 650, if you're using the church Bibles. And it says this. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. Because of a curse, the land mourns, and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil, declares the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall. For I will bring disaster upon them in the year of the punishment, declares the Lord. In the prophets of Samaria I saw an unsavoury thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they tell one another, even as their fathers forget my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them, so they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. When one of this people, or a prophet or a priest, asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbour and everyone to his brother. What has the Lord answered? Or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. For the burden is every man's own word, and you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent to you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers. And I will bring upon you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem Jeconiah and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, together with the officials of Judah, the craftsmen and the metalworkers, and had brought them to Babylon, the Lord showed me this vision. Behold, two baskets of figs placed before the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs. But the other basket had very bad figs, so bad that they could not be eaten. And the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad figs, very bad, so bad they cannot be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I'll regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I have sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans. I will not set my eyes on them for good. I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to the land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. But thus says the Lord, like the bad figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten, so will I treat Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials, the remnant of Jerusalem, who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a reproach, a byword, a taunt, and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. And I will send sword, famine, and pestilence upon them, until they shall be utterly destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. You have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear. Although the Lord persistently sent to you all his servants, the prophets, saying, turn now, every one of you, from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers from of old and forever. Do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, or provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, and against all those surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will banish from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the grinding of the millstone and the light of the lamp. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then after 70 years are completed, I'll punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. I will bring upon that land all the words that I have uttered against it, everything written in this book which Jeremiah prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall make slaves even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and the work of their hands. Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, its kings and officials, to make them a desolation and a waste, a hissing and a curse, as at this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his officials, all his people, and all the mixed tribes among them, all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coast land across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who cut the corners of their hair, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mixed tribes who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and the kings of Midian, all the kings of the north, far and near, one after another, and all the kingdoms of the world that are on the face of the earth. And after them, the king of Babylon shall drink. Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more, because of the sword that I am sending among you. And if they refuse to accept the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you must drink. For behold, I begin to work disaster at the city that is called by my name. And shall you go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, for I am summoning a sword against all the inhabitants of the earth, declares the Lord of hosts. You therefore shall prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high, and from his holy habitation utter his voice. He will roar mightily against his fold and shout like those who trade grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. The clamour will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against the nations. He's entering into judgment with all flesh, and the wicked he will put to the sword, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster is going forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest is stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. And those pierced by the Lord on the day shall extend from one end of the earth to the other. They shall not be lamented, or gathered or buried. They shall be dung on the surface of the ground. Wail, you shepherds, and cry out, and roll in ashes, you lords of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and dispersion have come, and you shall fall like a choice vessel. No refuge will remain for the shepherds, nor escape for the lords of the flock. A voice, the cry of the shepherds, and the wail of the lords of the flock. For the Lord is laying waste their pasture, and the peaceful folds are devastated because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Like a lion he has left his lair, for the land has become a waste, because of the sword of the oppressor, and because of his fierce anger. Well, in a minute we're going to have a look at some of that. But I want to mention now that at the end of the sermon there'll be an opportunity to ask any questions or make any comments in light of the passage, chapters 21 to 25, or in light of the things that we've been reflecting of because of the passage. So I mention that now so you could be thinking of what questions or comments or thoughts you might have to make at the end. But before we do anything else, let's first ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the full revelation we have of your plan and purpose. That you do not keep things hidden from us, but you reveal your plan, your intentions, the means by which you bring salvation, and the fact that you will not overlook justice. And so we pray, Lord, on these, as we reflect on these things, we better know and understand who you are and what you're like. We better understand and appreciate the extent of which you've gone to solve the problem of man's sin. We pray, Lord, that we would better understand and appreciate the grace that you've demonstrated to us. Amen. Back in Genesis 12, a promise was made to Abraham. And that promise was, through Abraham, will come a nation. This nation will be chosen by God. And it is through this nation that it will be the hope for all other nations. That is to say, the means by which all other nations will be blessed will be through Abraham and his nation. There's no other means of salvation offered to the nations. Israel is God's chosen instrument for blessing to the nations. And so God sets his name on that nation. He sets his name in the city of Jerusalem. The land was distinct from all other lands because God had chosen it to be the land where his people would live. Now, how the nations would be blessed through Israel was quite simple. Israel would know God, and as they knew him, they would reflect his character. And as they reflected his character, all the other nations would look in. And as they looked in, they would be struck at how remarkable the nation was. And they would understand that Israel was a great nation because they worshipped a great God. And therefore, nations that blessed Israel would be blessed. And nations that cursed Israel would be cursed. Now, in some senses, none of this is a particular new theme to Genesis 12. In fact, this idea begins as far back as Genesis 1. So in Genesis 1, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. They are made in God's image. And they're told to have children. As they have children, they will fill the garden with image bearers. Once again, these image bearers will reflect God's character. Now, there'll come a time when the boundaries of the garden will have to burst open at the sheer number of Adam and Eve's children. The number of image bearers eventually will mean that Adam and Eve's family will fill the whole earth. But of course, as we well know, this was not to be. Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. They turned away from God and they believed the serpent's lie. We could say they were exiled. And so it's this same theme that's picked up with the people of Israel. God's chosen people. The Garden of Eden is no longer the centre point for God's plan. But now that centre point has become Jerusalem. God has placed his name in Jerusalem. And it's from there that the blessings of God will go forth. Until the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Given this context, given just what we've considered so far, the message of Jeremiah is maybe even more bleak than we first thought. It's not simply that the people of God are under judgment. Rather, the fall of Jerusalem has implications not just for Israel, but for all nations. the implications are nothing less than cosmic. Now, this begins to explain why God has raised Jeremiah to such a lofty position. Now, we may have missed this, but Jeremiah is no less than a prophet to all nations. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 is a well-known verse, but for all the wrong reasons. If you wish to congratulate a couple upon the arrival of their newborn baby, you would have no difficulty finding a card that said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart." But do you notice there's a bit missing? Who would like to have this on your congratulatory card? The verse continues, "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." This word of the Lord was intended for Jeremiah, and Jeremiah alone. And God appointed Jeremiah a prophet to the nations. Now that may well strike us as odd, because we're 20 or so chapters into the book of Jeremiah, and at best we can say that Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah, because that's who he is pretty much predominantly been speaking to. But Jeremiah 1 verse 5 suggests that he will not restrict his message to Judah, but it will be a message for all nations. And again, maybe this shouldn't surprise us. After all, as we've kind of been considering this morning, the future of all other nations are inextricably bound to the future of Israel, given the promise, "If you bless Abraham, you will be blessed. If you curse Abraham, you will be cursed." Throughout Israel's history, God has demonstrated his patience towards his people. Have a look at 25 verse 4. "You have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord persistently sent to you all his servants, the prophets, saying, 'Turn now, every one of you, from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers from of old and forever. Do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, or provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm." It speaks of how God persistently sent prophets to encourage the people to turn back. They had the opportunity to live in the land, to experience the full blessing and generosity of God, if they would only serve him. The prophets warned them not to go after other gods, but instead of listening to what the prophets spoke, instead they provoked God to anger. And God will bring judgment upon his people for their perpetual idolatry. Now, the means by which God will bring about his judgment is another nation. That nation is Nebuchadnezzar. He is recently, or rather Babylon, the king of which is Nebuchadnezzar. He's recently become king of Babylon. We read of that in 25 verse 1. And notice in 25 verse 9, he's called God's servant. "Behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, and against all those surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction, make them a horror, a hissing, an everlasting desolation." Now, it might strike us as odd for a foreign king to be called God's servant. To be Yahweh's servant is a position of honour. It has the potential, therefore, to make us uncomfortable to think of a heathen king to be given that honour. But on the other hand, the whole earth belongs to God. And as such, God is at liberty to use any of his creatures to bring about his purpose. And so Nebuchadnezzar is God's servant and is the instrument by which God will bring his wrath upon Judah. So it will be. Nebuchadnezzar will carry out the will of God. He'll bring about God's judgment upon the people of Judah. And it will last for 70 years. Now, it's important that we're not under any doubt as to who it is that meters out the judgment upon Judah. To the uninitiated, it may appear that the gods of Babylon have overwhelmed the God of Judah. It may appear that God has been unable to defend Judah from the might of Nebuchadnezzar. But in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. We are left beyond doubt as to what is taking place. God is in control and causes everything that happens. We see this when God gives Jeremiah a cup. And the contents of this cup is the wine of his wrath, or the wine of his anger. And Jeremiah is to give the cup to the nations that God tells him to. But the first nation to drink from the cup is Judah. God's own nation is under God's judgment. God's own nation must endure the anger of God. After which, the cup is passed on to Egypt. And so the nations that have received the cup from Jeremiah are the nations that Babylon will defeat. But then at the end, Jeremiah hands the cup to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, as well. Now have a look at verse 28 to 29. It says this, chapter 25, verses 28 to 29. And if they refuse to accept the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you must drink. For behold, I begin to work disaster at the city that's called by my name. And shall you go unpunished? If God begins to unleash his wrath on the very city that bears his name, that is to say, if his own city cannot escape punishment, then how much more will the other nations be forced to undergo the punishment they deserve? And it's worth pausing here to reflect on the significance of this. And this is where what we considered at the beginning becomes helpful. The hope of the nations is to be found in Israel. The source of salvation for the nations is Israel. The nations have no hope of blessing outside of Israel. But Israel has not been the light to the Gentiles that it was intended to be. Instead of being a source of blessing for all nations, they've turned to serve the gods of the other nations. So without Israel's faithfulness, there is no place that refuge could be found. Refuge can no longer be found in Jerusalem because they are the first to undergo God's wrath. And so as they undergo God's anger, all of the nations will be swept up with them. As we reflect on Jeremiah at this approximate halfway point, it's possible to begin to explore what will be required to solve the problem that's presented. Here are a few things to consider, and a few things that have been hinted at within our passage. Now, for those of us who were at Growth Group on Wednesday, you'll know we found ourselves in Genesis 28. And in that chapter, we see Jacob has a vision of a ladder. And on that ladder, there are angels ascending and descending upon him. And because of this vision, he calls the place the house of God. Now, of course, by Jeremiah's day, as we've seen, the house of God has been established in Jerusalem. But as we've seen today, the place God has given his name is now under judgment. But then Jesus arrives, and he says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In the past, the house of God was in Bethel. It was through Jacob, who would be called Israel, that the nations could get to know the name of God. But now Jesus had come. Now here's the place where God is found. We might also consider how Jesus is the Messiah. But you know, that Jesus is the Messiah is neither here nor there. You see, the question is not whether Jesus is the Messiah or not. The pertinent question is, what kind of Messiah is Jesus? Remember Manasseh. He was a Messiah. And it was thanks to him that the nation was about to be exiled. But then we come to John 10. Jesus reveals exactly what kind of Messiah he will be. As he explains, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." See, he is the Messiah that the nation should desire and the one they certainly need. And then what of the cup of wrath? In Mark 10, James and John make a request of Jesus. They say this: "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." To which Jesus' response is cryptic: "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" Then later in Mark 14, when Jesus prays, he says, "Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." What could Jesus be referring to? It's funny, it's such a familiar verse. And yet when we read it after considering what we've been reflected upon in Jeremiah, it begins to provide a clarity of what Jesus was about to do. Because it's in Jesus and through Jesus that there will be a blessing for all nations. In order that his disciples could begin to preach the good news from Jerusalem, and from there, true image bearers would fill the whole world. But first, Jesus would have to drink the cup of God's wrath. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the many remarkable things that we've been able to reflect upon today. And as we see that your Son is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament, that every theme and everything we read, we see fulfilled and brought about through your Son Jesus. We do thank you for the great wealth of background, the great wealth of information we have of how you relate to your people and how you promise things that will come about in the future and how we can now see them fulfilled through your Son. We pray, Lord, as we diligently continue to reflect and meditate on the book of Jeremiah, we better know who you are, what you're like, why you sent your Son, and what your Son has achieved for us in his death on the cross. Amen. Well, I mentioned at the start of this morning's sermon that there'd be an opportunity for questions or comments in light of the things that we've been reflecting upon today. Of course, it's a funny thing. In one sense, I don't know whether you noticed, but my focus has been on Jeremiah 25. But it's not that the other chapters haven't informed what we've been thinking about. Think in chapter 23, the righteous branch, the promise of a Messiah that will come, that will be better than the Messiahs of the past, reflecting on Jesus. A lot of the themes have been there, but maybe not explicitly. So obviously feel free to ask questions related to the other chapters, or more specifically about what we have been thinking about from Jeremiah 25. Otherwise, we'll see our next one. Yeah? Happy, everyone? Go on, Ricky.
I think in chapter 23, the burden of the Lord.
What, sorry? The burden of the Lord. Okay, excellent question. So verse 33 of chapter 23, we have this kind of peculiar reference to the burden of the Lord. I think what's going on here is a play on words. So let me just read a little bit of it so that we're all aware of what's going on. So from verse 33, when one of his people, or a prophet, or a priest, asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbour, and everyone to his brother, what has the Lord answered or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more, for the burden is every man's own word, and you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. So I think what's going on here, you could say, what is the burden of the Lord? And what you mean by that is, what is God's will? You know, what's his desire? What is the burden of his heart, as it were? So that's kind of one way of understanding it. But of course, he responds and says, "You are the burden." So that's a different way of looking at it. There, it's like, what is the thing that weighs on your mind, as it were, or causes you grief, or, you know, is a burden to you? Of course, the answer to that question is the false prophets. You're a burden. You're the one who's telling my people this, that, and the other that you shouldn't do. And so it feels like they seem to be saying, "What's your will?" And then they go out and say stuff, but they say stuff that obviously isn't God's will, because they're dreaming dreams and coming up with complete and utter nonsense, which is the whole idea of the false prophet in the context of this. So I think then what Jeremiah goes on to say is that we'll have no more of this. And what he means by that is quite simply, let's have no more false prophecy. Let's have my actual answer, my actual response. Ask that question. Don't listen to the false prophets. So I think that's the sort of realms that we're looking. Simon, we're away. Yes.
22. Just in light of God's promise to David, how that fits in with that, because at the moment he seems in jeopardy, he seems that he's kind of just going to not fulfill that promise or break that promise. So can you just go over that set apart?
Excellent, yeah. So 22:28. Is this man Coniah a despised broken pot, a vessel no one cares for? Why are he and his children hurled and cast into a land that they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah. Yep. So, obviously we know back in 2 Samuel 7 that David's line will always sit on God's throne, because it being that's the means by which the nations are blessed. Now here it seems to suggest that if Coniah is childless, then the lineage stops dead. Now of course we know he doesn't remain childless. And we know that the lineage doesn't end up dead. It gets picked up again, and a Messiah is returned to Jerusalem. And of course, eventually, Jesus, it comes from that line. So we know that it can't really be saying it's going to cut dead, there's an end to it. And so what we kind of to understand here is that Coniah is going to go into exile. He's going to leave Judah. And although he'll have children, they will not have the honour of being the Messiah. You know, effectively, if you're the king of Judah and you have descendants, and your descendants don't sit on the throne, you may as well be called childless. You know, your dynasty has not been passed on. Obviously, he's not going to enjoy the honour within his own life. Neither will he enjoy the honour through his children. So it's not quite as stark as your lineage is cut off, but rather your children will not enjoy, you know, they won't sit on the throne of Jerusalem. One last question, if there is one. Oh, Ricky. Yes, yeah.